All right. So one of the major themes of Yom Kippur, which has a lot to do with our lives, is that of Yonah. And Yonah's flight from whatever he was supposed to do. I think very often, what does Yonah have to do with Yom Kippur? So clearly there's one theme in that of tshuva. That, you know, Yonah goes and Yonah does tshuva, and not only does Yonah do tshuva, which he really doesn't in the Sefer, if you look very carefully, the people always do tshuva. So there's a theme that why it could be found on Yom Kippur. But I think that there's a very interesting subplot, so to speak, that if you look very carefully at the Sefer, you'll see as to what's going on. That what exactly is Yonah, who is he? I'm not going to take this on the level of the Grub. You want to see something very fascinating, take a look at the Grub's work on Yonah, where he kind of that he has the Sefer, where Yonah was actually a Neshama who wanted to run away from this world, and a Kaddish Baruch who kept putting on this world. That's on a much deeper level. But you can take it on a simple level. So if you look really, Yonah, one of the major themes in Yonah is this Goral, is this lottery that happens, where Yonah, you know, he runs away from the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Vayakam Yonah with Rosh Tashish, he runs away with Lufnei Hashem. And then, what kind of gets Yonah back on track, where he's trying to distance himself from the Kaddish Baruch Hu? The people have no idea who's causing this terrible storm to happen. So there's this goal, there's this lottery that kind of, you know, oh, it's Yonah, there's you, who you are, and he gets thrown off. So it's a very strange thing. What is a goal? And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about a goal, and then we're going to get back to what Yonah is really all about. Because I think the Goral is an illusion as to what's going on and to what it has to do with our life. So let's play it out. There's a number, in Yom Kippur, along with Yonah, there's one of the highlights of the Yom Kippur service is the Goral. It's a very funny din, if you ever think about it, right? We're used to it. But when I realize it's funny because when I learn with my children and I go through the Mishnayos of Yuma, or Yoma, one of the major themes of the Mishnayos is the Goral, of which Goral is going to go to the inside and to the central service of the Beit HaMikdash of Yom Kippur and the blood smattering and all that fun stuff, and which goat is going to be the one that's the Sela Zazel, and it's going to get shoved off the precipice and into the abyss, and not in a beautiful way, but kind of throw down a cliff where it kind of falls apart limb by limb. And you have these two identical goats, and the way we determine which goat is which, we do lottery. Now, one of the lotteries, you know, in life is like, you know, you're in camp and you have to decide who's going to get the extra ices or something along those lines, right? Or you want to determine who's going to be the first pick in the 1985 NBA draft. Or you want to determine, you know, Patrick, and you want to determine who is, you know, something trivial. But yet, the central theme on Yom Kippur is this Goral. So you have to look. Let's examine a little bit about what a Goral is. That we use it first in Yom Kippur, and somehow it plays a central role in Yom Kippur. So I want to share with you the three Goralos that, besides these two, that take place in the Torah, which can tell us something about. Let's examine what these three are. That happened in Tanakh, as far as I know. If you think there are more Goralos, you can tell me. You know, it's a three hours.
Yonah's dog.
Well, Yonah's already out.
The Nachla.
Kenan?
No,
what's it called?
Which call?
Well, they did with the
Nashara,
the 25th finger.
21st finger, but that's not a
Goral. That's
the 21st finger.
Splitting up the Nachla.
Purin, splitting up the Nachla. And one more. You taught it. You should know. You're both teaching it.
I didn't get there yet.
It's in the first paper.
I still didn't get there.
It's very early. David Yalurgit. Fresh as on. Somebody went and stole something he shouldn't have.
Oh, the, what's his name?
Achan,
yeah.
Right.
So these three goals, right?
Right.
That as far as I can think of. If there are more girls out there, let me know. But as far as I know, you have the one, we have the five. We have Yonah, which is our starting point. We have the Goral on Yom Kippur, which is a little bit bizarre. And then we have, let's talk about these three, because I think these three really tell us what it is. We're going to go back to our Korban, and then we're going to head back to Yonah. And we're going to learn something very interesting about ourselves and what Yonah was trying to do. So let's understand. There's a Goral to divide a parish of show. The girl was as follows. Ach begol yechlak is earth with shemos matos avosom yinkolim. And Rashi here says that the division of Eretz Yisrael was very precise. It says like this, Loa, Rashi tells, Loa to El Al Yidei Go, Vago Aya Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. It was Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. Like it says in Baba Basra, that he was Yom Mitzumim, and when he was Yom Mitzumim, Ruach HaKodesh, that this Shevet determines this, because it was done with divine inspiration to make sure that each Shevet got exactly the land that they were supposed to have, both in size, in quality, and quantity. Also, in terms of location. Like, for example, the people that had to work in the sea were aligned by the sea. So you see, very clearly, that the Goral, as Rashi tells us, is something which looks like it's by chance, but instead was really the hand of God playing the role. So something that looks like...
So you can't fight about that word.
That's right.
There's no debate.
It's fake. Excellent. Remember that. Remember that. You can't fight. There's no debate. The Goral has determined the fate. Okay? Another time is when Yehoshua wakes up early in the morning and they go to battle and then 36 people die in Ai. Oh my gosh, what happened? So Nebuch, this Achan guy, stole booty. That's one of those terrible English translations, right? He stole from Yericho, where in Yericho all of the Shalal was supposed to be Muktish Lakadosh Baruch Hu, and nobody was supposed to touch it. Yet, Achan did. So how did they determine that Achan did it? They did it go wrong. So Vayikra v'Yisrael v'Pnei Achoshen, Makom Sheshvatim Tzuvim, U'matu L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Simen, L'Kadosh Baruch Hu is Matu Shimon Rashman again. Shevet Shechata, so this person went to Shevet that sin would get nailed, and then it would get watered down to family, watered down to look after the initial person. Once again, Vayipo Ha'ach, and I'm a little sin not covered with Matu Shimon Rashman, I'll totally lie to Agar Roshabo. Ashita Ha'arik Lekalik. He says, don't slander this Goral that eventually is going to be the Goral that defies up Eretz Yisrael. So that's number two. The Achad. And then, of course, we have probably the most famous Goral in history. I don't know if that's fair to say it's the most famous Goral in history, but, you know, put him, the whole name of the holiday is called based on the Goral. You always wonder, it's a funny thing, right? Take a step back. It's the curse of being born with it, that we don't think it's a funny name. But if I were the guy calling the movie Purim, I would have called it a different name, like the Jews overcome Haman, or I would come with some more glamorous name, but Purim is the lottery. The lottery? I don't know. Was that a central part of the story? That was just a way for Haman to decide on a date by which he would select the Jews to die. It didn't really play a central role in the entire event of Purim. And when you look at Purim again, it's not only the Jewish name, it's really the Persian name. He peeled poor who Goral. He peeled the poor, which was a Goral. So it's a funny name because it's not even definable by us. It's really the Babylonians. So what's the significance of the name Purim? So the Gemara in Megillah says, "Hepil poor who are gold." And still says Megillah, "Daf Yigimol and Beis." Tana, "Kerish and Apple poor, the Chodesh Adis Samach Simchi Gedola." When Haman said it fell out, he knew that there was something significant behind the lottery. He says, "Oh, terrific! It's an other Amar Nafli poor Biareach Shemaisol Moshe. Ike it fell out of the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died." Lo yada, he didn't know Shabbishai Adar Neis Ubeshafer Shabbishiv Adar Neis Ubeshiv Adar Noor. He didn't know there was something good that happened in other. Which is namely what that it was good. Meaning, you know, Haman somehow understood there was some significance that the hand of Hashem was behind it. But he thought that the hand of Hashem was telling him that he would be successful. Ultimately, he didn't realize that the hand of Hashem told him he was going to be unsuccessful. So what's the common denominator between these three goals? Clearly, it's that we see from Achan, from the Chiluk of Eretz Yisrael, from the story of Purim, is that the Goral is something which looks like chance, but in fact, is really the hand of a Kaddish Baruch. That's what's symbolic by the goal. And if you could add, what Natan is saying is that it's not just that the goal, the hands of Hashem, our attitude has to reflect that. We're going to get to that shortly. But the attitude towards the goal is, what am I going to do? Like when you're playing backgammon. Right? I don't know if you have a, I like backgammon. People think it's a game of luck. I don't think it's a game of luck. For example, if you open up the rolling with a 6 and 1, If you know how to play, you take the guy from this column and you bring him there, and you take the one, you block him, and then you have a block so that the other guy can't get out with a double six or a six, right? But if you don't know how to play and you get a six and one, so you just move a guy and you take that six and you move him up one. So now you have six on the five spot and three there still. There's a difference between skill, but nobody rolls and says, ah, I don't like my roll, let me roll again. There's a certain finality behind the goro, which you now have to say, okay, what am I going to do? So similarly, when it comes to the goro of Yom Kippur, right? The Kohen doesn't say, oh, this one goes Lashem and this one goes Lazazel. You know what? I like it. Let me do another goal. Nobody's ever done that. In the NBA draft, you don't get a goal and say, you know what? We didn't like the first pick. Let's do the goal again. You don't do that. This is one of the, this is the lesson on Yom Kippur that's not really for the goat. It's really for us. Because Yom Kippur, one of the major themes of Yom Kippur, which we're going to see in Yonah in a moment, is that there's a goral that affects our whole year. But the question isn't, Kodesh Baruch Hu is not moaning us on the goal. He's not demanding from us, oh, how come such and such thing happened to you? He doesn't care about that. What he does care is that Soloveitcha coined the two terms, goral and yud, fate and destiny. It's the name of a book. It's the name of one of his sparks. There's a fate that happens to us that's out of our control, but there's also a destiny which is in our control. And the lesson, one of the lessons, key lessons, the critical lessons of Yom Kippur, is us accepting the fate that were given to us. Right? Man's mission will be to turn fate into destiny. This is what the Rav Lashon. It's man's mission will be to turn fate into destiny. An existence that is passive and influenced is an existence that is active and influential. And I want to suggest that a lot of Yonah, this is what Yonah is about. Yonah was given one of the clearest assignments of all time. Don't you wish, again, one of the things I struggle with in my own personal life is, what is my role in this world? Because I would be nice if I woke up in the morning, I got a petek from a Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, please accomplish the following A, B, and C today. That would be a nice thing, and then I know exactly what I have to do, and I would do it. And even if, oh, instead of getting, you know, dealing with issue A, I deal with issue B in a lot closer, and I'd spend some more time doing that. But yet, a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't give us this petek. But who did he give that petek to? He gave the petek, he gave this note to Yonah. And he says to Yonah, do me a favor. You see that town over there, Nineveh? Could you go and make sure that they have it closed up at Tuesday? It'll be a nice thing. So what does Yonah do? Yonah, it says clearly in the pasuk what he does. He runs away from Hashem. Right? What does he do? So he goes, the pasuk tells us, Vayakam Yonah Livrol Tarshisha Melifnei Hashem. He runs away from Hashem. Namely, what does he run away from? He runs away from the mission of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. He runs away from his goral. The Pesukim are filled with this. If you look very carefully at the Pesukim, and it's Kedai to go through the Sefer before Yom Kippur to get all the Chizuk, that it tells us that Yonah goes as far away as he comes. He goes on the boat. Not only does he go on the boat, he goes to the very bottom of the boat. What else does he do? He goes to sleep. Vayered, the word Vayered is often sounded here in the Navi. And it says that he goes to the bottom of the boat and he takes a sleep. Malach HaNirdam, he takes a shlof. Because what is sleeping? Sleeping is the exact opposite of being awake, obviously, because awake is when you're doing the Ratzon Hashem. Sleeping is, you're passive, you're doing nothing. You're going from that influential person to the person who's being very passive. He just doesn't want to deal with his mission. So his brother gave him a mission, he says, I can't do my mission. So he goes to the bottom of the boat. But the goral, what does the goral do? Not Yonah, you forgot. You could run, but you can't hide. This is your mission. This is your fate. You have to achieve your destiny. And the people on the boat are confused, and they say to him, Hagidu Nolak HaShar V'Niyarah Azos, tell us, Mamalach Techa, what's your job? Yonah, what's your fate? What's your job? Your job, namely, not, are you an accountant, are you a lawyer, are you a doctor? Umeyato Ma'atcha, Me'eta Hamata, who you belong to? What's your destiny? What's your fate? Vayomer Elokim, he recognizes this, Elokim, Avri Anokim, I'm a Jew, that's Hashem Elokim HaShemayim HaNiyoreh, and I fear God. I fear God, namely, I'm supposed to do God's will, but I ran away from it. So he asked what to do, he said, throw me over. But there are four key words in the Navi. What's one of the words in the Navi that repeats itself? You can always see very often in the Navi a key word if it comes up again and again and again. What's the key word that comes up very often in this Sefer that if you don't notice it, you're missing the key? What's the word? So the, what?
Yes.
Well, Yonah is one of them. But, true, but four times this word is used in the Sefer. Vayiman Hashem da gadol, which means Hashem prepared for Yonah this large fish. Right? People say it's a whale. That's only because they watched Pinocchio once in their time. A lot of doubts it's a whale. It doesn't taste a whale, it's a fish. And the fish was prepared. When was this fish prepared? I didn't look this up before. I meant to look this up before. I couldn't find the Grove Gadolus Tanakh in the South. We have to get more women in the South. Anyway, Vayiman Hashem that Hashem prepared his dog way back. All the way back before my separation. That's what Vayiman means. It was all set in place. Vayiman Hashem dog ogle. Hashem tells him, listen, this is your fate, buddy. Don't run. This is already set from the time of my separation. Vayiman Hashem dog ogle. With Loa as Yonah, and he follows him. So, Peregimel, Yonah gets something that we don't get very often. And that is a second chance. Second chance. But something always comes at the second end of the year. You know, many people come at the end. And they always get, like, a second chance to hear it because there's another... Peregimel is like a repeat of Peregimel. So if you miss Peregimel, you get Peregimel, except this time it's got a much happier ending. Because once again, Nachamu, Vayomer Hashem Ladag, Vayakas Yonah, Vayidvar Elov Yonah, Shein is playing well. And the Hashem repeats his statement to Yonah. So now Yonah is told his Goral once again. Yonah has this unbelievable experience where he gets his Goral, his same fate twice. And even though he ran away as far as could from his fate, nevertheless, the Kaddish Baruch Hu said, no, you can't escape the fate. And if you read through Parakimel carefully, it sounds like Yonah, like, doesn't really put it. You know, you think like he has to tell his whole entire nation to do tshuva. He would like give a sick mutter shmooze, but instead Yonah was like, guys, you got 40 days, otherwise I'm going to turn the place upside down. Sure enough, they do tshuva faster than anybody else. Okay, but that's not the point that I want to get to. So Yonah goes and he does tshuva, but Yonah doesn't seem all in with it. If you go to Perek Dalet, Yonah seems depressed, and he says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is why I ran away, and if you want to understand why Yonah ran away, it's another shiur for another time. It's machlokes between some of the mepharshim, but look carefully, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Beis, he says why. And he goes, and Yonah finally gets some air conditioning. At the end of it, Kodesh Baruch Hu prepares for him, after he convinced him to be finally in Perek Dalet, says, Vayesha Mekedel Yivayakul Sham Sukkah, Vayesha Tachel Bethel. Yonah sits in the air conditioning in the shade. Ada Shayir Mayeva Yir. Until he sees what would be in the city. He wants to see what's going to be with Nineveh. Are they going to be saved? What happens? Three times the word shows up. Vayimana Hashem Elokim Kikayon. Hashem prepared for him a Kikayon. What is a Kikayon? It's some sort of tree. The English translation in our school is
Kikayon.
There you go. Vayimana Hashem Kikayon. So Hashem prepared for him this tree. Vayal Me'al Yonah Liyos Se'al Arosha. So it should be a shade for him. Yonah was very happy with this kikayon. Simcha gedola. He has not been so happy before, the whole thing. The whole thing is miserable. Finally, he gets a little air conditioning. He's happy. Well, he was remote control. What happens? Vayiman nochamo. A third time we have this word. Vayiman helokim tolas. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu prepares a worm. Ba'alot ha-shachal ha-machal ha-tachal ha-kikayon. So he eats up the whole tree and it dries up. Hashem, so then the sun beats really hard. Hashem prepares for Yonah another easterly wind, which of course is a hot wind. And the sun beats down on Yonah's head. He didn't have a DRS baseball hat. And Yonah passes out. And Yonah has a taina. Now here comes the underrated part. How does the Sefer Yonah end? The Sefer Yonah ends with the Kodesh Baruch Hu giving the Moshe Shmuz. It doesn't end and Yonah gets Shuva. We end it. We end with Mikael Kamocha. But it ends with the Kodesh Baruch Hu giving a speech to Yonah by telling him the following. Vayomer Hashem, you worry about the Kikayon? What about my people? What about all of everything that I set up? I should be concerned with Nineveh. Right? There's a lot of stuff going on. Period. End of Navi. Meaning, what is the Kodesh Baruch Hu telling Yonah? Yonah, don't get in the way with the Goral. You think you understand how everything works? You think you understand you know, life and what should and shouldn't be happening, there's a lot more. And let me just show you. Show them what the Karyon tree. Look, I prepared it. You want it. Vayuman. Nakamah. Comes up. I prepared this in advance. Vayuman. The Ruach Chadim. All this is the same Vayuman, the same word used in Tariq Pei to describe something created from the beginning of time. Meaning, it's all part of the Goral that's established. Yonah, your job is not to judge what the faith is. Your job is to go out and forge your own destiny. That's the message of Yom Kippur by the Goral. It's incredible because there's an amazing Eliyahu Zufa which says that the Ten Commandments correspond to the 10 days of Aseret Yeshuva. So today is day 5. So today Aseret Yeshuva somehow corresponds to the covenant of Yichud Yassinachim. Okay. The first one we know makes sense. Rosh Hashanah is Ramalchus Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. The 10th day Yom Kippur corresponds to Losasmos. What's the switch level between the two? And by the way, you also read that Yom Kippur corresponds to the attendance Jonas of Avram Avinu, which means somehow Yom Kippur corresponds to Akedah Shifra. What's the switch level between the two? What is Los Sachmud all about? Same as Ibn Ezra. I'm not going to get into it so long, but Ibn Ezra is about understanding that this is, what is Los Sachmud about? Recognize there's nothing ever to be jealous about. Why? Because everything that you need in your life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has provided for you. Therefore, if I covet something else, it really means I have lack of Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me a goral. It's my job to forge my destiny. The guy who complains about what the other guy has as opposed to what he has, he's like the guy in backgammon who picks up the dice and says, no, I gotta roll again. You don't gotta roll again. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. That's why it's Los Angeles, it's Yom Kippur, the Goral. This is why it's Akedah Shifra. Because can you imagine? Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go kill Avraham. No. Go kill Yitzchak. No. I can't. Who was the anti-Yonah of Perek Aleph? That's Avraham Avinu. Because Avraham Avinu recognizes that what? He recognizes that this is his Goral. It's his job to what? To go out of his way to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, even though it goes against everything that he believes in. But he says, this is my faith. I got to achieve my destiny. And he forged that destiny for all of us.
So he says, you know, the opposite. You already didn't want to help him do tshuva in a city. Avraham Avinu is trying to find many of his people. Exactly.
Well, there's a tie on the whole story, because you might tie it. Shouldn't Avraham go all be just to let them all die? It's always hard to know what your goal, what he's supposed to fight. I'm never, that I'm not clear about. Mm-hmm. Gemara Nida says the following. The Malach once came to a pregnant, says the Malach Hanamuna al Harion Laila. It's a little weird. I mean, it's a weird. It's hard to understand on face value. But the Malach, who was appointed on pregnant women, says, Benozo Tichipa, he would hold up the piece of sperm, and Mamizo say, Akos Baruchu, say, Akos Baruchu. Tipa Zu Matela, what's going to be with this seed? Gibor Achal, strong or weak, Kakamu Tipish, Asherani, rich or poor, smart or stupid. But Vilu Russia, O Tzadik Lo Kama. To be a Tzadik or Russia, that's not safe. Our Goral is sealed. We're only judged on our destiny. That's fate and destiny. So that's what it's all about. I want to show you a mitzvah about Esther Waxman. Tremendous mitzvah. Esther Waxman, as you know, lost her son Nachshon. Nachshon Waxman, it was back in 1995. And at her Levaya, she spoke about it. It was just like, you know, she spoke about her son who was killed by terrorists right near Ramot. They tried to save him, and when they tried to save him, the Arabs killed him. Shem, you're not going to dumb. So Esther Waxman spoke. You know, I guess she says, I can't be that upset. I mean, I'm upset I lost my son, but ultimately it's in the hands of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is my goal. Now I have to forge my destiny. And what has she done? She has turned so many people on to Emunah because of it. She has taken that goal and moved ahead with it. That is a tremendous yisod. It's the whole yisod of Sefer Yonah, the yisod of Yom Kippur, one of the yisodos of Yom Kippur. To take your goal, to take your lottery, and to make your youth. I cannot tell you how much this helps when it comes to children and raising children. This is the include I want to get back to. Is that I remember it was the year 2000, and I was driving home from Boston. I was listening to Rabbi Weinberger's shiurim on inspired parenting. And he said something that's so powerful. He says, up there in Shemayim, whatever's going on, you know, like somebody, let's say somebody wants to adopt somebody, right? So they go through a whole, they get vetted through a service, and the service makes sure that they're the right person. So you don't think the Kodesh Baruch Hu is vetting that you're not supposed to be the right father for your children? And as a child, you know, this is not the right parent for you. This is the Kodesh Baruch Hu is running the bell. So he's making sure that every child, parent gets the right child. Your child is your go-ro. So you, sometimes you can complain, I can't believe my kid is nuts, or I can't believe my kid did this, I can't believe my kid. The reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you that child is because when that child would do that, you're the exact right parent to be able to take care of that child. That's a tremendous mission, so to speak, for all of us. That this is supposed to be, we all ask ourselves this question, am I really supposed to be the one to take care of this? I'm not capable. But you have to have belief that there's a goral that's beyond our control, and it's my job to forge that destiny. I don't have to pick up that dice and roll it again. I could figure out what to do with the die that was rolled and where I'm supposed to make my next move. That's my job. That's figuring out the goral and forging ahead with my destiny. That's the message of Yonah when you hear the Avoda being read on Yom Kippur, is something to think about, something to think about your whole life. So I think that this is one of the Yesodos of Yom Kippur, just something I wanted to draw out. Everybody should have a Gemara Sinto. Hope people mustn't it. I went a minute and 19 seconds too long, longer than I like it.